Finally, Friday is being brought to you this week by Major Spoilers VIP and Patreon members from around the world. You can show your support and support everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Happy Friday, everyone. Finally, Friday. Friday the 13th. I made sure that there were no masked axe murderers hiding out behind me. Huh. But if there is, man, that's going to make one heck of a show. Let me tell you what. Look, Marshall is there. Nicholas is there. Fabian is there. The chat room is starting to fill up. Twitch people. Yes, we do have a Twitch. You can also watch us on Twitch. Nobody over on Twitch today. I know we're streaming there, though. How do I know? Brains, man. It is a wonderfully hot day in Western Kansas, or I should say, it was a wonderfully hot day. We've had some AC problems. Fortunately, the guy came over. Our AC, a couple of times in the last week, the unit outside just starts going, and I'm like, what in the heck? And it happened again Wednesday night when we were recording Critical Hit. And so we had a guy come out today to look at it. And here's the thing. Like, four blocks south of us is the golf course. And in Hays, we have walnut trees, and we have cottonwood trees, and we have pine trees. It probably goes walnut, pine, and cottonwood. Four blocks away, there are hundreds of houses between us and this one giant cottonwood tree right on the edge of the golf course that butts up against our subdivision slash community. The guy who came to clean our air conditioning, he opened it up and he said it was packed with cotton. So that crap blows everywhere. I mean, it's beautiful to look at when it flies through the sky. It's like snow in the summertime. But he said it was packed. I heard him turn on the faucet and clean it out for a couple of minutes. Probably about 10 minutes it took him to clean it out. But other than that, he said the air conditioner was fine. We've got cool air in the house. But it is a hot day today, or it was a hot day. I was almost thinking of canceling Finally Friday so I could take my son to the pool, because we didn't get to do it yesterday because we were waiting for the air conditioning guy to come over, and he never did. But right about the time I was about to make the call, I got a little blip on my phone that said, hey, the pool is closing today for the rest of the day. And sure enough, 10 minutes later, we dropped from 100 degrees to currently 85 degrees because a huge storm has just blown through. I wasn't expecting it. I don't think anyone was expecting it. We weren't supposed to have rain until maybe next week. Ah, weather. Weather in Kansas. Wait a few minutes and it'll change. How are you guys doing? We were here last week. It literally seems like it has been multiple weeks since we have had a chance to sit down and talk about stuff. And a lot has kind of gone on in the last week. I don't know where we want to start. But maybe I should start by saying, hey, if you are someone who enjoys our shows, if you're someone who enjoys Finally Friday, for those of you who were listening to the Legion Clubhouse just before this show began, I usually play a previous podcast before the show starts, so you have a little something to listen to so I can make sure audio and video are going out and all that kind of stuff. If you enjoy Critical Hit, if you enjoy the reviews that we've been posting up on the website, if you enjoy our commentary about comic books and pop culture, then we need your help. We need you to become a patron today at patreon.com/majorspoilers, and we are so, so close, ladies and gentlemen. We're like $18 away from hitting our next goal. And that goal being the Legion Clubhouse becoming a regular ongoing show. And I have faith. I have faith, ladies and gentlemen, that you can make it happen. Why? Because you are some of the coolest people that I have ever met in my life. I don't think I have met a spoilerite face-to-face who is a complete D-hole. Or B-hole, or A-hole. Pick a hole. And I know that we have tens of thousands of listeners out there that want to get us up to the next level. And not only that level, but I mean, we have goal after goal after goal, because after we hit the Legion Clubhouse goal, which I'm hoping we can hit maybe this weekend, we have the Rogue One, a bonus tracks story. We have something called Batman, the Annotated Series. We have a live show called the GM Roundtable. We have even more early access to Critical Hit. We even have a Major Spoilers live stream. So much stuff coming up. We can do it with your support. And here's the thing that just is, like, somewhat frustrating. I stumbled across a podcast that sometimes ranks on the iTunes, sometimes does not, but it's an RPG podcast. They also have a Patreon page. And they're making at least seven times what our Patreon is. Isn't that a kick in the teeth when you're celebrating 12 years to find out that someone's making seven times the Patreon money that you are? And I think we're doing some good work. In fact, one of the things that I've added on, if you are a $25 member and up, a patron, you can become an NPC in an upcoming, an NPC, get your name, in an upcoming Critical Hit game. Also, the 25 and up people are helping plan the next game. What do you mean, plan the next game, Stephen? Well, here's what I mean. We've talked about before that the games coming up, if you are a VIP member or a Patreon member and have participated in the live chat, we'll have another one this next week, next Saturday. You know the next five games that we are going to play. One of them I am GMing. And I'm going to you, the community, you, the listeners, to help develop this game. And my idea is, not only will you help develop the game and your feedback will get you that, get an NPC slot, but my hope is that by the time we play the game and the game is done, I will have essentially a module to give to you so that you can play that game around your table as well. Now, we're not going to do that with the Void Saga. It's already too late to be doing any of that. But going forward, all of the new games that we develop, we're going to be developing those modules so that, hey, you want to play, I mean, if we ever went back to Weird Western again, you would have a module that will run you through that entire campaign, that you can run that campaign with your friends. And we're starting that with my game that's coming up next. And yes, there are going to be multiple people running games. And I'm taking bets to see if one of them actually comes true or not. We'll find out. Actually, we actually have our very first named NPC from that, because I put a question out there to the group. And William Young responded. So William Young is going to be an NPC in the game. So cannot wait for that. But I know we can get up higher, and I think we can do it with your help. So come on, patreon.com/majorspoilers. That's the place you want to go. Find out what all the brouhaha is about. Find out all the extras that you can get. And then sign up today. I mean, what? Seriously, what are you waiting for? Let's see what some people have said. Oh, hey, I'm in chat, says Fabian. let's see. Marshall says he's going to try to keep getting people on board. And no Major Spoiler employee is any kind of a hole in person, maybe a pie hole, yes. I really want that round table. I don't know what round table you're talking about. Oh, the GM round table. I thought you were... my mind has been on gaming tables for the last, I don't know, 2 months or so. You know those big, expensive gaming tables? I mean, we used to have a round table that we used to play around. You go back to our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video, and look at some of the early Lego builds. That was on a round table. It was a poker-playing table, and it could flip over and had a velvet, and it had a lower part that was all velvet, but it really didn't work for... It really didn't work for the RPG stuff, and it most certainly wasn't going to work when we were doing the video Munchkinland stuff that we've been doing for this last year, all the games that we've been doing. So I went with a longer rectangular table that I purchased online, but it's not one of those big old fancy schmancy gaming tables. Those things are expensive. So when you said you wanted that round table, I was like, did I ramble on for a minute and black out and mention something about a round gaming table? There are some other cool things that are coming with Munchkin Land. In fact, next week we're recording a special episode because company contacted us and said, hey, would you like to demo our game, do a review of it, play the game, and then maybe give it away? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we'll be playing a Marvel game next week. And then it'll come out for you guys the week after. But I'm pretty sure for Munchkin Land, we have hit every single week for the rest of the year, meaning that's how many episodes we now have in the can, which is crazy. And we still haven't gotten to half the games we were scheduled to play this year. That's weird, too. But more on that next week for our patrons, for our $10 gold members and higher. You can find out more at patreon.com/majorspoilers. But good stuff coming. I'm really excited about a lot of these things. So last week, I don't know what's going on. Last week, last Friday, I said that Saturday I was going to get up and go run, walk a 5K with Dr. Brad Will. And I did. I got up early in the morning. I went down to the course. It was humid. It was like almost 80% humidity and 80 degrees at 8 in the morning. 8:88, right? And Brad shows up and his wife shows up. Both lovely people. And I was like, Brad, you said we're going to go at a light jog. I don't know what a light jog is, and I'm very worried about this because my walking pace is not very, you know, I've got my own walking pace, 14 to 15 minutes a mile. And his wife pops up and he goes, hate to throw you under the bus, Brad, if you're watching or listening, but his wife goes, yeah, he's only going to jog if he needs to catch up to somebody or wants to catch up to somebody. I'm like, oh, okay. So Brad wants to get way in the back of the pack whenever they get ready to start. And the gun goes off. And I'm just like, I take off. I'm walking like my normal, maybe a little bit faster than normal pace. And I actually am doing really good. I'm alternating between my fast walk and a light jog throughout the entire course. In fact, I finished with a good jog. And I thought I did pretty okay. I kind of psyched myself out because I forgot that this was a 5K and I wasn't doing miles because I always time myself based on miles. So after about the first 100, 200 and so yards, I started jogging. And then a couple minutes later, I see this thing that says 1KM. I'm like, holy crap. I got here really fast. What's my time? I'm looking down. It's like 8 minutes for a kilometer. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing really, really good. And then I get to the 3 kilometer mark at some point, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is a 5K. I've still got another mile to go, and it kind of psyched me out, and I kind of slowed down in the back half. But I ended up going, finishing in exactly 45 minutes. And I felt really good about that. Brad came in about 4 minutes behind me. But it got me really kind of jazzed about going and doing some more 5Ks this year. And here in town, there's at least 3 more 5Ks before the end of the year. And I'm thinking I'm going to try to do them all. But I don't know what happened. Something afterwards, I was exhausted. And so this week, I did no exercise. And I feel gross about it. And the other thing that I feel bad about is 9 months I've been going without sodas. And I broke down and I started drinking sodas again this week. So I feel gross and fat and blah, and I haven't done any exercise and it's frustrating me. So next week, I have to get back on that horse. I have to slip on those orthopedic shoes and get back out there and start walking again and jogging again. Because my goal for next year, for the big 5K, the Wild West 5K next year, is to get it done at least under 40 minutes. So I have to shave 5 minutes off my time. At least under 40 minutes and as close to 30 minutes as I can. Now, I did finish. Out of all of the men that participated, I finished 75th out of like 114, I want to say, something like that. So I finished kind of like back middle, you know, the low end of the middle or the top of the back part, you know, depending on how you look at it. Let's keep it positive. But in my age group, Now, Brad is the age group ahead of me. But in my age group, I finished like 22nd, something like that. I think it was like 22nd out of my age group. But the person who finished first in my age group was at least 20 minutes faster than me. They finished in like 22 minutes for that 5K. So I know some of you were wondering how I did, and now I told you. But I've just been kind of achy and blah all week, and I started drinking the sodas, and bleh, got to get back into it. And the boy, same with him, he was like, oh, I could run a 5K, not a problem, Dad. So I think he's going to start doing these as they come up. But this week has been kind of a dead week for him as we pull into this last week of the World Cup. Next week is going to be busy because not only does he have soccer practice on Monday and Wednesday morning and conditioning on Tuesday, Thursday morning, he now starts his swimming lessons Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon. He's going to be dead by the end of next week, I think. And on top of that, my wife was like, oh yeah, can you take him to swim lessons Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 1 o'clock? I'm like, yeah, sure, not a problem. And then I realize, happens every year. San Diego Comic-Con comes around, and I get talked into doing something that really runs right into time. Now, there have been times in the past, like the oddest San Diego Comic-Con trying to do the site update thing that I tried to do was when my wife's brother and family all wanted to do a thing in Kansas City. And it was like SDCC weekend. And I was so irate because it's like, I have nobody to update the site if we're going to be up in Kansas City. Fortunately, the youngest was still small enough to where he wasn't walking and needed naps and those kinds of things. And so in the morning, I'd get up really early in the morning. I'd update the site with everything that I could. Then we'd go do family activities. And we all stayed kind of around the same area. So it was in walking distance to the hotel. And then sure enough, right as soon as he got cranky in the afternoons for nap time, I'd be like, oh, nap time for him. Wheel him. Update the site when he woke up. Go back out in the evening. Update things again. So this isn't going to be as big a pain in the butt next week. But the San Diego Comic-Con is coming up faster than I thought it would. In the past, I've been very, very excited about the San Diego Comic-Con. But I don't know. There's something about the San Diego Comic-Con this year that I'm just kind of like, I really don't care. I really don't care what you have to say, TV studios or movie studios. I mean, Marvel's not even doing a Hall H presentation. But I don't care what you're doing, WB. I don't care what you're doing, DC or Marvel. In fact, a lot of the stuff, this is the other thing that's kind of crazy about all of this, is that a lot of the stuff has already been announced. I mean, Dark Horse has announced pretty much everything that they're going to announce at the show and talk about in their panels. Boom Studios has done the exact same thing. Titan Comics has announced a couple of things that I think are their big announcements at the show. Who else has sent out stuff early? Image has sent out stuff early. Basically, and even Marvel has kind of teased some of the things that they're talking about. And so it's like, okay, that's great. There's going to be a lot of sites that cover this stuff. But at this point, San Diego Comic-Con now feels like a place where I want to go meet creators and to see all the spectacle and the cosplayers and all of that stuff. And very little about, oh, I want to sit in a room and listen to a publisher tell me about their upcoming stuff because you already released it a week ago or 2 weeks ago in some cases. But it should be an interesting week. We'll have as many updates as we can get. Obviously, we are not there, so our reporting is a little bit delayed, and it's really only me doing everything. But, you know, we'll have that up on the site next week, so you have that to look forward to. Also, kind of, I'm a little down on San Diego Comic-Con because of a new report that came out today. Now, this comes from ICV2 and Comic-Cron. Comic-Cron is the site that does all the estimates of all of the sales of comics. And IVC2, for years now, have put out the monthly, here's how many actual issues of comics we estimate have come out in the direct market. And the two of them have teamed together for a look at 2017, using all of their estimates together. And they've come to the conclusion that 2017, North American comic sales were down over 6%, 6.7%. Let me switch this over here. 6.7% in 2017. Still above $1 billion. but not the $1.08 billion that it was in 2016. On the plus side in all of this, the first part of 2018 has seen a little bit of an increase, about a 1% increase in the first quarter. So that's all right. Quote from ICV2 says, while there was some softness to the market in 2017, which we attribute to cyclical rather than secular change, there were positive signs. The relative strength of the graphic novel and digital markets, especially the growing market for kids' titles across print channels, bodes well for the future. If you listen to this week's Dueling Review with Matthew and I, you know that I just ripped into the book that we were reading this week for a number of different reasons. Number one, I hate the character in that book. Number two, it's really targeted to a really, really, really low entry-level reader, which is not the publisher's fault, right? They're actually trying to attract new young readers. And there's a lot of horrible people. I mean, let's put it this way. We are all horrible people. In some way, shape, or form, we are all horrible people. But I just do not understand certain people who want to drag the industry down and try to shut a company down or companies down because they're not doing what they perceive the thing is that they're supposed to do. And we've talked about this before on the Major Spoilers podcast on Finally Friday for a long time. And I remember that one of the big things that the industry is really trying to do is attract new and younger readers. And if that means you have to put out younger reader comic books that are not aimed at me, but are aimed at like my youngest son, who's now 7, then I have to respect that. Even though I may not like the story and I may think that the story's been way dumbed down even for a 7-year-old, I have to respect that the industry is really striving to find new readers. And I don't want to say at the expense of the old readers, but maybe to the, and I don't even say disappointment of the old readers, maybe to the old readers are just dumbfounded about why suddenly a comic book publisher would want to look at targeting younger readers. Maybe it's because overall comic sales are down. One of the areas that is most interesting to note is that digital comic sales made up $90 million of the entire comic book sale, North American comic sales. So if we look at format, graphic novels brought in $570 million. Again, this is one of the things that I've been saying. If you follow Boom Studios and some of these other publishers, the smaller publishers, Boom Studios is doing it without really... Boom Studios is doing it without really making a big deal of it, but I've been noticing this and I've been mentioning this here on Finally Friday for weeks, months now, that they have been announcing more original graphic novels and one-shots than they are ongoing series. And I think that they see that there is greater sales and better sales in one-shots and original graphic novels than trying to do a 4-issue or a 10-issue or an ongoing series. And I think we're going to see some other publishers following suit after the San Diego Comic-Con. Comic book sales, just direct single issues, brought in $355 million in 2017. And of course, as I said, digital comics bringing in that $90 million. Now, digital, according to ICV2, digital sales were flat, but still performed still the strongest performer of any channel in 2017. And that itself is interesting because if everything else dropped, but digital comics stayed strong, is that not an indicator that even though it was the same amount, it actually probably improved? That's a weird way of looking at stuff, perhaps. One other one that I thought was interesting in this graph is where did the comic book sales come from? And $515 million of the comic book sales came from comic book stores, from the direct market, okay? And that's impressive. That's great. Congratulations, comic book store owners across the country. Again, that's a slip. If you look at the bottom part of this graph, that's a slip from 2016. But the book channel outlet, $400 million in comic books sold in the book outlets. Those are your Barnes & Nobles, your Amazons, your B. Daltons. That stayed relatively level from last year to this year. Digital comics, 90 million. Newspapers and newsstands sold about $10 million. And subscription services, newsstand and subscriptions, $10 million, which is down a bit from the previous years. But if you combine the newsstand, the digital downloads, and the book channels, those three right there are almost, they're only like, what, $15 million away from what comic book stores are doing. And I think we're going to see the direct, not that maybe not the direct comic book market, because they're always going to find something to complain about. But I think we're going to see more bookstores, more digital downloads going forward. And those are going to be the areas where you have some high growth. I'm trying to see if there's anything else from this press release. Yeah, I think the interesting thing was, even though digital sales were flat, they didn't fall compared to the other outlets. So that's good. I mean, so there we are with the comic industry kind of report for 2017. They have the publishers will have their retail breakfasts and their retail summits at the show. And so that's going to be fascinating to see what comes out from that. Last year, there was a lot of discussion. This is where the whole move the needle thing came forward. This is where the whole thing about diversity and comics came out and came to a head last year with publishers comic stores saying that they were tired of diversity. And so that's where we got this whole thing that has now blown up and become a huge monster and a big pain in the butt. But it'll be interesting to see what happens next week at San Diego Comic-Con with the retailers and the publishers. The other thing that came out today, this is from Creator Resource, a comic book freelance tool and resources site at creatorresource.com. They have released their page rates for 2017. Now, we've been talking about these for a couple of years now, about how the average page rate to complete a comic, or the cost for a publisher, is about $500 per page, right? So if you've got a 22-page comic, you're looking at about, you know, $10,000 to $12,000 per issue to get that out to the stores. And then, you know, if you've got a $4 comic or a $3 comic, and it costs $12,000 and you want to make a profit on that, you're going to have to probably sell about 4,000 copies in order just to break even. And that's why when we see in the charts, when ICV2 and Comic-Con come out with their estimated numbers of how much something sold, when it gets down into that 3,000 range, you're pretty sure that that book is going to be canceled. Well, page rates for 2017 have come out. This was from a study that the site did. 142 people responded, so it's not a high rate. But when we look at this, Action Lab Comics, and I'm just going to look at the highest column because the lowest and the average columns are, sometimes the data is not there. But it looks like for all of the art, if for someone to do the coloring, the lettering, the flatting, the, you know, all the art, it's about $75 a page. If you're just doing the colors on a page, it's about $20. Archie Comics is paying, I think when they say script, I think that means if you are writing the script, they're paying about $35 a page. Line art is $225. If you're doing the pencils only, $95. If you're doing the cover, $500 for a cover on Archie Comics. Boom Studios, that's the one that seems to have the most complete data. If you're doing all the art for the issue, you could get paid $200, $300 for cover art. And if you're doing the script, about $50 a page. The average there was $35. Dark Horse pays about $110 per page at the highest. Again, these are the highest in numbers. Colors at $125 per page. If you're doing the script and art, you can get $250 per page. That's a little bit higher than just doing the script and the art by itself. DC Comics, if you write the script, about $125 a page. Pencils get $200 a page. Inks, $120 a page. Covers, $800. Dynamite Comics, you do the script, $75. The covers are $700. I think they're the ones that pay the highest. The line art, $120 a page. IDW Publishing, $75 a script. I kind of did a really quick tabulation. IDW Publishing for pencils, $240 a page, $500 for a cover. Lion Forge will pay you about $50 a page. Line art, $130. Marvel pays about $80. Pencils, $180. I kind of did a really quick rundown of these comics. Lowest reported page rate by publisher in 2017 was Action Lab Entertainment and Boom Studios. 47 people reporting in did work at Boom. And you can find out more about this over at creatorresource.com. But I did some rough calculations, and the pages now are about 520 to 550 per page. So it's still $12,000 to $13,000 to get a comic book done at a mid-sized publisher. Now take that times 6 issues, and you're going to, you know, $70,000, something like that, pretty close to it. So your comic needs to perform. They're going to perform their next survey May of 2019. So it's some interesting data when you compare that. Let's see. Anthony says, I'm lost in what we're talking about. What are you lost on, Anthony? We're talking about overall industry sales. Anthony does say, I think it'd be awesome if comic book publishers wrote some lighter stories. It would be cool. I also wish the channel had more views. Me too. So Fabian says, I think the best point Stephen made was when the pricing is bad, $3.99 for a comic for small kids. Why? So yes, if you're wanting to know what I'm ranting about a comic that's for kids that is horrible this week on Dueling Review, go and listen to Dueling Review. But one of the things that I brought up was, if this comic is supposed to be for 6-7-year-olds, they shouldn't be charging $3.99. They should be charging 99 cents and you'd sell a whole bunch more. Problem is, when you compare that to the page rates at Boom Studios and you're looking for, 20 pages at 200, you're looking at about $5,000 to $10,000 to get that comic made. You're going to have to do a lot better than that. Anthony does bring up a good point. I think one of the biggest follies of the industry right now is no advertising. I can't remember the last time I saw an advertisement for an actual comic book. Oh, so you're talking about, okay, so I misunderstood you there, Anthony, because I was thinking you were talking about advertising in the actual comics itself, which is a topic Matthew and I talk about in an upcoming Legion Clubhouse. I don't know if it's next week or a month from now in the episode that we release. But you're right. You've never really seen advertisements for comic books. That's something that I have been personally talking about for 12 years now. Why aren't we getting more, why wasn't there an advertisement for the new Wasp or the Ant-Man comic books in front of the movie that just came out, or at the end of the movie when people were waiting for the mid-credit, end-credit sequences? Well, DC seems to think that they have an answer to that. They will be, I think, starting next week. They will be pulling some TV spots or putting out some TV spots for the Superman series, Superman number one, and the Brian Michael Bendis series going forward. So you can be on the lookout for that. I don't have no idea when they're going to be airing those things. I doubt that they're going to be airing them on channels like Disney XD and the Cartoon Network. I think they're going to try to air them during like Big Bang Theory and other primetime shows. And other things. I doubt we're going to see a Super Bowl ad saying, go buy a comic book. But yeah, I mean, so two things. Publishers could make some more money if they started putting ads in their comic books. But when you put ads in the comic books, you have two choices you can make. You can either increase the number of pages in the book to account for those extra ads, or you reduce the number of, you keep like the page count the same and you reduce the number of story and art pages in the comic, which in effect would have fans very upset. But from the mid-1970s to about the end of the 80s, the first of the 90s, comic book ad sales just tanked. You start to see a lot more in-house ads in comics today. I know DC will do a inside front cover, inside back cover, or full page ad. But they did experiment not too long ago with putting ads in back into the middle of the into the comic books. And I guess people just had a negative reaction to that, which I don't know why you would have a negative reaction. If you can sell ads in a comic book, that means you can bring the price back down. But yeah, you're right. Advertising in comics is really messed up overall. Perhaps the studios think that the movies are advertising enough, but I know that's very different how character, you know, is very different how character in the world works in the comics. So people who expect movie Iron Man are very upset. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the comic books and the movies are always definitely different. But at the same time, if you were to ask, if you were to go out today and ask who publishes Batman comics, I would bet you most of the people would say Marvel, that Batman is a Marvel comic. I know it seems weird, but you got to remember the general public are not as keenly aware and tuned into the comic book industry like you and I are. You know, they'd happily say that Spider-Man is in the same company as Superman, even though they're two different companies. It's very much like if you were to ask people what channels your favorite sports are on. A lot of times people, they just say, oh, it's ESPN. No, that's Fox Sports. They just equate it as one and the same thing. So there's some confusion there. The other thing is, I guess, and I don't think it's the studio that thinks, oh, well, people will go and watch this movie about Iron Man and then go into a comic book store and pick up a comic book about Iron Man. I think the studio thinks people don't even know comic books exist. As far as they're concerned, this is the superhero stuff. This is what we're feeding them. And if you were to tell them that an Iron Man comic existed, a lot of them would probably go, really? They still make comic books today? That's an actual quote somebody had mentioned a couple of weeks ago to an actual comic professional. Oh, they still make comic books? So that it is an awareness level, and it also goes back to what I was saying a few moments ago. It's where can you find these things? I don't have a comic book store in my area. Comic book store closed. The Hastings closed. We used to have a comic book store years ago when I was in college, but then again, you had a lot more comic book stores in the world. At some point, I think Matthew and I recorded a bonus tracks episode on Patreon that talk about a lot of the stores that I used to go to when I was younger, growing up. I mean, within an hour drive of my house, I could go to 7-8 comic book stores. Today, I could go, I mean, an hour drive from here, I could go to 0 comic book stores. But even in the town where I grew up, or in the area that I grew up, I can now only maybe go to 3 comic book stores. So where are people going to go get their comics? Well, as we talked about before, the comic collector or the comic shop locator website doesn't really work correctly. I mean, it's there, but it doesn't really work correctly. And so if people don't know a comic shop exists, they're going to think, oh, I can go to a bookstore and find comics. Well, you can find some comics. You're not going to find all of the comics. You're going to find a greater selection of graphic novels and trade paperbacks at a bookstore than you are going to find month-to-month issues, which is why I've been saying for the last, I don't know, how many years now, people? 6 months, a year, we need to move away from the single issue format and go directly to a trade format, because then those sales in the direct market will be steady. But the bookshops where people go to, people, it will be more in their face and they'll be able to pick that up. The other thing that people might think is, oh, I will just go down to my local store and there will be comic books. And this is the other brilliant thing that DC has done. And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. And I know we've talked about it on the Major Spoilers podcast, is the announcement that DC was selling the anthologies, the comic books at Walmart, which, again, Reminder, DC has been selling comics in Walmart for a long time. The only reason that they got the big push that they did recently was because it was an anthology that included new stories, and it was going to get a little shelf display. It's still in the same place that it always was at Walmart. But that combined with the news about the television commercials shows that they're trying to get that out there, get comics out there in front of a wider audience. If I go into the Walmart, I'm not going to see Marvel comics on the same shelf that I'm going to see the DC comics. In fact, I'm going to see no other comics at Walmart except for those DC comics. So, where does that leave Boom Studios, Archie Comics, Dark Horse Comics, IDW, Image Comics? How are they supposed to get out there? Well, they have to do more awareness, more brand awareness. And I agree with you, Anthony. It would be great to see more advertising about comics. But advertising costs money. And a lot of these companies are running on super, super thin margins. So they wait until there's a big event. Ah, Batman's going to get married or not get married. Let's do something with the New York Times or USA Today. And on the day of the death of Captain America, remember, the death of Captain America was that 10 years ago, 11 years ago? That was a big news item that was on all of the press outlets for the day. And sure enough, people went in to flood the stores to buy that death of Captain America. So unless there's a big event, newspapers, television outlets aren't interested. Well, does that mean that publishers should just be doing big event after big event after big event? If you're Marvel, the last couple of years seem to be event, 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 to the point where people are like, we're tired of events. So comics, I think, is a very much a catch-22, damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Nothing the comic industry can do is going to be positive, because someone is going to be out there complaining and fussing and whining or not understanding or whatever. So it becomes very frustrating. So I think the best thing that we can do as comic book fans is to gather in a place like MajorSpoilers.com, where we know that you love comics and we do too, and we'll talk about the good things and sometimes the bad things that happen in our comic book stories. And we can put this in light of the industry. We can put this in light of current politics. We can put this in light of current socioeconomic situations that are going on in the United States. And even though comic books are a little microcosm of an industry, you know, 200,000 to a million people, it's probably more like a half a million people reading comics, we can really get a sense on how the rest of the world or how the rest of pop culture is working. If comic book sales are slipping, does that mean video game sales are going to be next? Where's all that money going? And that's a switch off to another topic. Veer, quick, turn, right, now. This was something else I was thinking about yesterday and today when I saw the industry slipping. The reports. Where's all that money going? Is it going to video games? And I haven't looked up to see what video game sales for this year have been doing or over the last couple of years, year-to-year data. Is it going to technology? Are people dumping all their money into their iPhones and their AirPads and all that stuff? Is it going into sporting events? Has sporting attendance gone up or gone down? Have utilities gone up? And that may be a reason why. Or food prices? I mean, we are always seeing an increase in food prices and utilities. But where are people putting that money? Where else are people putting that money? That's something to investigate. Nicholas says, I haven't been into a comic shop for a while. The only place I see comic books is on the iTunes store. Well, go to comiXology.com. You'll see a whole bunch more comics. My friend started to tease me with the differences between DC and Marvel. I guess everyone who prefers one or the other gets mad from time to time. Yes. Advertise at a bookstore like Barnes & Noble or the B. Dalton's, says Nicholas. I haven't actually ever bought a comic book, says Anthony. But I understand that if I want the superheroes I love to continue, then comics must continue as well. Well, that in itself is an interesting is an interesting comment. Because on the one hand, you could say that, yes, in order for the movies to continue, comics have to be made. Because otherwise, there's the intellectual property that could go away. And Disney didn't buy Marvel for Spider-Man, right? They bought them for the 4,000 other characters that Marvel has in its IP vault. And it's because of that we have Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Daredevil and Iron Fist and the Defenders and Cloak and Dagger and the Runaways and, you know, all the other things that are out there. And yes, if we do want to keep our properties alive, we need to keep them in continuous use. That's why you will never see Batman comics stop. That's why you will never see Superman comics end. But yeah, maybe you'll see a Black Panther end in 5 years. There will be no Black Panther for a couple of years. And then 5 or 6 years later, there will be Black Panther again. Maybe there will be a renewed interest, or perhaps there's a new character that people are hot on, or perhaps we just tuck it away and hope that a copyright never expires. Which, if Disney has their way in the next 5 years, copyright will never expire, and then we could do away with the comic book industry. And the movie studios would be just happy with making their movies based on comic books that no longer exist. Most of my expendable income goes to my kids. I hear you there, Chris. People are putting money in their banks. Are they? I don't know. I have no emails this week. What else did I have down? I had a couple of other things. We talked about the comic book industry. I know this is a comic book website, podcast, etc. So we should probably talk about comics, which we have. Talked about my running. Talked about our Patreon. I talked about the weather. It's now 70 degrees. Wow. 20 degree drop in less than an hour because of this rain. That's crazy. What is on your mind, chat room? I don't see any specific questions popping up. I should be. So I didn't do a live stream last Saturday because, man, I was worn out after last Saturday's little run. Jog, light walk, whatever it was. But tomorrow I will be back, and so we'll be playing some games tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to play yet. I hear is there a new Hearthstone expansion out? We could talk about Critical Hit. What should we talk about with Critical Hit? I mean, Critical Hit is a very cool RPG podcast that we have going on. We're in the final season of the Void Saga. We have the next 5 games, which will probably encompass the next 2 years of show content for you guys. Yeah, that's what's going on with Critical Hit. And if you're a patron member, Patreon member at patreon.com/majorspoilers, you can listen to next week's episode a week early, because tonight, after I'm done with dinner and hanging out with the fam for a little bit, I'll come down and edit next week's episode, and you'll be able to listen to it right there on the Patreon, patreon.com/majorspoilers. I'm glad you love Critical Hit. Anthony says, I love Critical Hit. Money is also going into all the streaming services. Marshall, I think you're not too far off on that. I think you are probably right on the money with that. Because I bet if you look at the rise of the streaming services, CBS, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, the upcoming Disney service, the upcoming DC service, I bet you will find an almost direct proportional decrease to comic book sales to increase in streaming services. Oh, Anthony, you haven't gotten to season 6 yet? Oh, you better hurry up, dude. You better hurry up. That's all I can say. All right, well, children are needing to be picked up from summer programs. Other children need to be smacked around and told to clean up the house because they've just been sitting on the couch all weekend or all week playing their Fortnite. Oh, my son was so excited yesterday. new Fortnite, what is it, season pass or whatever came out. And he was like, yep, I knew exactly what was going to happen. And it happened, and he's so excited, and he's just been playing that thing. And he was like, Dad, can I purchase some tokens or whatever they are, 10 bucks for 1,000 tokens or whatever that he needed for the Fortnite? I'm like, yeah, sure. And he goes, it's only $9.99. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. Whatever. And so I'm, ringing it up, doing the sale, and he's reaching into his bank and pulling out like dollar bills for me. And I'm like, no. Come on. You don't have to pay me back. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But he was so excited about this new season of Fortnite. Couldn't wait to get his hands on it. And so he's been playing that all day today. Oh, I don't think Fortnite needs to die. Fortnite is the thing of the moment. Just like PUBG was the thing of the moment. Just like the battle arenas, what are those little the scroller games? Like Heroes of the Storm. They all have their, I mean, Pac-Man was a thing at one time, right? And I'm sure back in the 80s, there's somebody like Anthony sitting at the office. I wish Pac-Man would die. There's nothing wrong with Fortnite. There's nothing wrong with PUBG. There's nothing wrong with whatever game that you enjoy, right? Nothing wrong with that. And if it's the new hot thing that other developers are like, yeah, maybe we should figure out a way to incorporate that into their game, that's fine. And at some point, when it decides to fall out of favor, when I guarantee you Fortnite, you will see a decline in Fortnite playing in September. I guarantee you will see a decline in Fortnite playing beginning in September. How do I know? Because I got two kids that are going back to school, and college kids are going to be going back to school, and September is going to be a super busy month for a lot of people. So the time to be sitting in front of a Fortnite battle arena are going to be few and far between. And so you'll see a decline. But will that mean that Fortnite's gone for good? No. And there's plenty of other games that are coming up that people are going to be excited about. I still haven't gotten the Yakuza game. I won't be playing Fortnite on the live stream. Did I play Fortnite on the live stream? I thought one day I played a Fortnite game for you guys. Oh, remember when Candy Crush was a big deal? I want Magic the Gathering to be in the moment again. Oh, I don't know where you've been, Anthony, but Magic the Gathering has never died. I mean, there is a brand new expansion or whatever comes out today. You need to get to your game store, your friendly local gaming store, and get in on that new Magic the Gathering stuff. All those new cards are available today. Rob was supposed to write an article that was supposed to go on the site today about the new Magic the Gathering stuff, but I guess he didn't do that. Anyway, everyone. Anthony, I think you're probably a new person into the chat, so welcome. Welcome, Anthony. Welcome all the new viewers. I don't see Jess today. I don't see Nate O today. I see Chris. Chris, are you a new person today? If you're a new person, welcome aboard. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to check out our Twitch channel. Major Spoilers is where we're at on Twitch. I should have also named it Major Spoilers Video, but whatever. So subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our Twitch channel, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. We are so close, ladies and gentlemen, to getting to that next level. Remember, if you're going to be buying things on through Amazon, we've got a link over there at majorspoilers.com. Click on that Amazon link, a little bit comes back our way, helps us grow. Helps us do more things like Finally Friday, bringing in special guests, all that good stuff. I'm pretty sure we'll be back next week to talk about some of the stories from San Diego Comic-Con. I have no predictions this year because most of the news has already been announced. But we'll be talking San Diego Comic-Con next week on Finally Friday because that's what we do. You're going to be here. I'm going to be here. None of us are going to San Diego Comic-Con. So we'll sit here from afar and stroke our beards and cluck our tongues and make commentary on the industry from afar. Take care, everyone.